Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Andrew Mays with you on this Friday morning, the 11th of October of 2019, as we build up to Caulfield Guineas weekend. It is going to be huge tomorrow at the Heath. Cannot wait to be there. Of course, we'll be there on track too with Michael Felgate, Matt Stewart and Peter Moody with all the build-up from 10 a.m. Can't wait for that. Let's start, though, with a lot of the other sporting news from yesterday. We'll start with the most recent. Overnight, the Socceroos winning easily over those Titans, Nepal, 5-0.
Off the chest of Irvine, McLaren, is this the hat-trick? It is! The first Australian to score a hat-trick in almost 2 years since Miller Jedinak netted 3 against Honduras in that World Cup playoff. And it's a night to remember for Jamie McLaren.
Same old for the Socceroos. Scored 5, could have been 10. Meanwhile, I didn't think I'd see this in the first round of the Sheffield Shield. Steve Smith out for a duck.
Out! Oh, caught! Second slip, Joe Burns removes Steve Smith. And Cameron Gannon gets his second wicket. Steve Smith's on his way. And the Bulls strike.
Wow, take a photo of the scoreboard. He's got a duck next to his name.
Not bad from the commentators up there, courtesy of cricket.com.au. We'll wrap up all the Shield action from yesterday. The Vic's off to a nice start at the Junction.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Plenty to come on the Breakfast Club too. After 6 this morning, half still sunning himself. It'll be Whitey Scotty and Rama bringing you all the action from the last 24 hours in sport. Looking forward to Dean Lester and Trent Langscow previewing all the Friday from 7 a.m. this morning. The most important half hour of your week. Dino will join us then. Looking forward to that. The early mail before 7 as well. After 7.30 this morning, Gareth Hall will join us for the Hall Pass as he joins us every Friday on the run-in towards Christmas. Tim Hodges from Bathurst, Lawrence Thomas from the Melbourne Victory and David Noble from the Brisbane Lions after the Grant Birchall trade went through yesterday. So there's still plenty to come on the Breakfast Club this morning. About 7 o'clock, Dean Lester will be in the house to preview all the action of Caulfield Guineas Day tomorrow. Let's start, though, with the Socceroos from last night. And as you heard, Jamie McLaren's hat-trick was amongst 5 goals that they scored against Nepal. They had over 30 shots at goal, so it could have been a hell of a lot more. It ended up only being 5 goals in the back of the net. And we'll start with Jamie McLaren, who was pretty proud of scoring a hat-trick for his country.
Probably the proudest moment on a football pitch, if I'm honest. Playing for your country is the pinnacle, but as a striker, to come off with both an appearance and a hat-trick, it's an amazing feeling. And obviously, it's thanks to obviously my teammates and the manager for putting a man of faith and the boys for putting them on a plate.
The type of stuff you dream of as a kid?
Absolutely. I've worked so hard for this moment, and it's been a long time coming, but I've believed throughout the journey. And tonight was a great moment for me and my family, and just so proud.
How many in that your career, international career now?
Not that I'm counting. 1 for Olyroos, 1 young Socceroos and 1 tonight. So 3 for my country, but tonight tops the list.
As I said, 33 shots at goal last night, but only 5 in the back of the net. Graham Arnold, it's fair to say, wasn't entirely pleased with the performance.
Obviously got a lot of work to do. And, you know, after probably only 2 training sessions that we've had in that attacking way, and we worked only on those 2 training sessions in and around, you know, the attacking part of the field and the attacking patterns. And, you know, we created plenty of chances, but, you know, we've got to be more ruthless when it counts. The message at halftime was it's we need to do better in the second half. Let's forget the first half and beat the first half in the scoreline with a great attitude and great expectations. And, you know, I thought that you've got to give credit to them. They worked extremely hard as a team in a block, but at the end of the day, it's a performance that we can improve on, but overall I'm very happy.
Let's head to the first round of Shield matches that took place yesterday, and it was a very happy day if you're a Victorian. At Stumps on day 1, 1 for 362. It was a dominant performance by the openers yesterday. 195 not out at Stumps, Nick Maddison. His good form from last season has continued. And Marcus Harris, 116 from 177 balls, including 4 sixes.
Zampa bowls. Harris comes down the wicket and hits it high and long and long enough. It's a new season, a new Sheffield Shield season, but it's business as usual for Marcus Harris. A 13th first-class century.
Some of Whitey's best work on cricket.com.au yesterday. As I mentioned, the Vicks won for 362. The only wicket taker was Winter, who took 1 for 46 from his 16 overs. But a dominant first day by the Victorians. Let's have a listen to Marcus Harris, who spoke about his turn at stumps.
Oh, yeah, like getting it out of the way quickly. Don't want to get stuck in the 90s. I did a couple of times last year. I just saw it. It was just a good ball to hit. I had the wind behind me, and it's not the biggest boundary in the world straight here, so back myself in to get enough bat on it to get him over the line.
It's a nice track for batting out there.
Yeah, good wicket. It generally is here at the junction. This is the first time we've played here at Kookaburra, so there's a little bit of the, not the unknown, but just not too sure how he's going to react. And yeah, it's been a pretty good wicket. Hasn't been too much sideways movement, and it's come on pretty well. A bit slow, but yeah, it's a pretty good wicket.
Queensland are facing New South Wales as well at the moment. Queensland all out for 153. We'll run you through the scorecard and a couple of the test aspirants. Matt Renshaw out for 19. Joe Burns out for 13. Usman Khawaja out for 1. So not good news at the top of the order there. The standout was Manus Labuschagne, who made 69, clearly the best of the Queensland batsmen. In terms of the bowlers, Mitch Stark didn't take a wicket. Trent Copeland took 1 for 48, 3 for 25 for Sean Abbott. Harry Conway, the star, 5 for 17 from 13 overs. And Moses Henriques took 1 for 12. Steve Smith had a bowl too, and bowled off spin and leg spin in the same over. It was almost like he was disinterested yesterday, Steve Smith, then slashing it a wide one out for a duck. David Warner is not out. That's an important one to watch for New South Wales. 27 not out at stumps. Hughes made 6. Smith a duck. Henriques a duck. And Larkin not out, 12 at the crease with Warner. So New South Wales 3 for 50 at stumps after Queensland were dismissed for 153. So trailing by 103 runs there with 7 wickets remaining in this first innings. In terms of the bowlers, you heard Cameron Gannon took the wicket of Steve Smith. He's got the other two as well. He's taken 3 for 17 off 6 overs. To the last Shield game from yesterday, that commenced, and it was WA facing Tasmania over in Perth. WA in their first innings, all out for 337. In terms of the best with the bat, Marcus Stoinis made 61, Cam Bancroft made 30, Josh Felipe made 48, Inglis 42, Agar 20, and Mitch Marsh 41. So the runs were shared around, all out for 337. The best of the bowlers, Jackson Bird 3 for 51 for Tasmania, 3 for 79 for Ollie Meredith, and Neil Smith took 3 for 81. Matty Wade had a bowl too. I think he bowled about 7 or 8 overs yesterday for the Tasmanians. At stumps, they're none for 4. Silk and Doolan, the not out batsmen at the crease. So a bit of work to do for them on day 2 as they trail by 333 runs with 10 wickets still in the shed. We'll hear from Nick Maddison on his massive innings, which is still going a little later on in the breakfast bite. Let's head to the footy news. We did get a trade done yesterday. Nice to see that Grant Birchall will be heading up north. Let's start with David Noble there on that move.
I think the need for us really made on that at half back, that bit of run, the ability for, you know, use of the ball. We'd like the fact that he's a lefty that sort of turns out of there. You know, we can sort of be that long range player, sort of gives us that short one, continue to run, create that overlap for us. So that was the interest. And look, I think the other thing, if you go back through Birch's history, his ability to step up in big games has been pretty good, you know, over the journey. So we're lucky enough that we feel that need, you know, with a guy that's got a couple of hundred and, or nearly 250 games under his belt.
So Grant Birchall up to Brisbane, a fresh start for the man who played in 4 flags and 248 games for the Hawks. He's had a very distinguished career so far, and hopefully he can get a couple more out of that body. Let's head to Terry Danaher now. He spoke yesterday about Joe Danaher's move up north to Sydney.
Makes you wonder. Here we have Essendon on one end, like the Swans, wanting to push their way up the ladder. It's probably a bit disappointing in some way. As a family, we can only wish him all the very best. You know, really, it's, you know, it'll all come out down the track. you know, as to why, his reasons for wanting a trade.
Sounds like there's a bit of news about to come from Adelaide too. First of all, hear Andrew Fagan on the coaching appointment.
The short list is now pretty short. Yeah, so it's, yeah, we cast the net far and wide. It's getting pretty pointy, but a couple of days to go.
Eddie Betts spoke yesterday on his situation.
Where it stands now, nothing's been approved, so and that's where it's at. But, you know, Adelaide's a little bubble, and all the media outlets were waiting in front of the Adelaide Crows facilities, and, you know, it's been pretty hectic, but what can you do? Coming to Adelaide Oval and playing Adelaide Oval with the fans has been unbelievable. And, you know, they've been my biggest support and they've been fantastic to me.
And before it jetted off yesterday, Channel 9 caught Mason Cox at the airport.
Mate, that's not up to me. That's up to the club, whatever they want to do. So I'm happy to go home and let everyone else figure it out.
Okay. So you're happy right now at Collingwood?
I'm happy at Collingwood, yes.
Don't forget, on the Breakfast Club this morning, hashtag AskRammer. Anytime you want, give him a call about the trade period. He's got all the answers to all your questions. Let's head to the golfing world now. A bit of action from overnight in Italy. And it was a man that is on the rise who was better than the rest at the moment.
Now, Pulkkonen, I played with this boy last year. He is seriously talented. Oh, he's not bad on the greens either.
And stretching the lead to two, gets it to six under par. Now two ahead of Kitayama with a birdie putt to come and Bob McIntyre.
Pulkkonen was sinking everything yesterday. He's seven under the card after the first round of the Italian Open. Rory Sabatini in second place at six under. And a number of players, including Justin Rose and Juuse Luton, at five under the card. Let's hear what the leader had to say, Pulkkonen, after his opening round.
Yeah, I'm really happy with the score. My putter was really hot today and didn't make any bogeys, so it was good. Yeah.
You went out flying, especially towards the end of your front nine. Talk us through that stretch.
Yeah, I made a lot of long putts, actually. I was just actually trying to lag it close and made a lot of putts by that. And I felt like the greens were really quick today, especially in the morning first group. So I felt like Monday, Tuesday was not that quick, so I had to be really careful with the putting and made a lot of putts, yeah.
As I mentioned, Justin Rose is at five under the card at the moment in a tie for third position. This is what he had to say about holding on to a round that could have gotten away from him.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I stayed just about patient enough on the front nine. Had a tough run really from the second hole through to about the sixth hole. Didn't play very well at all and just kind of rode the storm there a little bit, reset. But probably my putting is what I was happiest with today. I mean, I've really rolled it beautifully from 10, 12, 15 feet today. Capitalised a lot on my opportunities and you know, felt like, you know, it's one of those days where I've walked off the golf course going, made the most of that round for sure.
Yeah, made a lot of important putts, Justin Rose, as he shares a tie currently for fifth spot. The best of the Australians taking a little bit of scrolling down, which is always a little bit disappointing. Jason Scrivener finished at even, as did Wade Ormsby there, both in a tie for 54th at this stage of the tournament. Lucas Herbert was three over in a tie for 103rd, and Sam Brazel six over in a tie for 129th. Our friend Scott Henn shot 11 over the card. He's in 135th position, so it's going to be a tough task for a lot of the Aussies, even just to make the weekend. Time for a break on RSN 927 at 14 to 6 on your Friday morning. On the other side of this, we'll catch up with a bit of A-League in the build-up to the opening round there. Some fascinating news developments at the Rugby World Cup with a few games being canned. We'll get the latest from the swimming world too and a little bit of cricket from England after this.
This is The Breakfast Bite.
And he's made it. And he's made it into the quarterfinal, Sasha Zverev. It got a little tight, didn't it, in that second set. It looked like it was going to be a convincing one-sided encounter, having won the first nine games of the match.
Alexander Zverev through to the quarterfinal, 6-love, 7-6. He beat Rublev. A couple of the other results from the Shanghai Masters from yesterday and last night. Dominic Thiem won in straight sets, so he's through. Federer beat Goffin 7-6, 6-4. Tsitsipas is also through, though not after after a bit of a scare, rather. 7-5, 3-6, 7-6. Djokovic beat Isner in straight sets, 7-5, 6-3. 3. Berrettini over Bautista Agut. A little bit of an upset there, 7-6, 6-4. Medvedev through in straight sets, 7-6, 7-5. And Fognini, controversial character after him and Andy Murray had that big clash the other day. He's through in straight sets, 6-3, 7-5 over Khachanov from Russia. So the quarterfinals have been decided. Looking forward to the conclusion of that tournament. Let's head to the A-League now. The build-up continues to the opening round. And Ryan McGowan is a Socceroo who spent a lot of time overseas. He's back in the A-League now. He's playing with Sydney FC. And he says they've got one distinct advantage over the rest of the competition.
You know, last month or even 3 weeks, we've seen a lot of teams sign players for other clubs. Whereas we've not signed anyone for, you know, a good couple of months. So we've had our whole squad together early on, so which has given us a chance to, you know, not only know them on the field but off the field, which is just as important sometimes, because, you know, we're under no illusions that Friday night will be difficult, and we need to, you know, stick together and work hard. And
to the Donald Award last night, that was actually taken out by Ashley Barty, so a coveted award in Australian sports. So congratulations to her. There are a number of other nominees who she beat, including Cooper Cronk. There's also a number of Australian sports stars at the awards last night for the Sport Australia Hall of Fame. One of those was Dawn Fraser. She's accepted a mentoring role with the swimming team for the Olympics ahead of next year.
I went to the junior championships and mentored a few of our young juniors, and they've excelled in the world junior championships, and they'll be a force next year at the trials to, you know, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if we have a few debutants for Tokyo next year.
Let's head to Cooper Cronk now, who still was reflecting on the grand final win for the Roosters the other night at the Don Award.
This 35-year-old doesn't putt as hard or as long as he used to, so I handball that over to the younger guys who are probably still back somewhere in the eastern suburbs having a good time. Yeah, absolutely. I think they're in the best position that any other team has for a long time. But, you know, I owe a lot to the Sydney Roosters for, you know, giving me the opportunity to move to Sydney and, you know, start a family and enjoy a football life. But I never would have thought that the move would have reaped the rewards it has. But it happens to occur because of the good people involved with the Roosters Football Club. So when there's good people involved, good things tend to happen.
Let's head to the rugby world now, where David Pocock has spoken about the battle for spots ahead of Australia's first ever clash with Georgia.
Yeah, there's no lack of competition. You know, guys have been really working hard, pushing for selection every day at training. So I guess as players, you just see it as an opportunity. You know, someone may miss out, but someone else gets an opportunity to play in a Wallabies jumper and stay there, you know, push for selection. And, you know, you look at someone like Tevita last week, thought he had a great game. But competition is tough. So it's exciting having depth and you know, something that we're gonna need over the next few weeks.
Few strange occurrences yesterday at the Rugby World Cup too, with almost the unprecedented step of some matches being cancelled. Here's tournament director Alan Gilpin. A couple of big games on Sunday won't take place.
After extensive evaluation of the latest detailed weather information, we are today confirming adjustments to this weekend's Rugby World Cup 2019 match schedule as a result of the predicted significant impact of Typhoon Hagibis. As a result of the detailed independent advice from the weather advisers and given the scheduled public transport closures, we've taken the very difficult but we think right decision to cancel certain matches in the affected areas. As we briefed you before the tournament, for pool matches that do not go ahead as scheduled, these matches are cancelled and 2 points will be awarded to each team in line with tournament rules. The Pool D match scheduled between Australia and Georgia in Shizuoka, we expect to be played as scheduled. For Saturday the 12th of October, the Pool A match between Ireland and Samoa in Fukuoka, we expect to be played as scheduled. The Pool B match between New Zealand and Italy in the city of Toyota will be cancelled. The Pool C match between England and France at Yokohama Stadium will be cancelled. As you can imagine, the decision to cancel these matches has not been taken lightly and has been made with the best interests of team, public, tournament and volunteer safety as a priority, based on the expert advice and the detailed information we have available.
So an amazing situation there over in Japan with the typhoon headed the way of the Rugby World Cup. So a few matches cancelled rather than postponed or rescheduled. They have been ditched altogether, including the blockbuster between England and France on Sunday. So the Wallabies, if they win and Wales win, they'll play England in the quarterfinals. Let's head back to the cricketing world for the time being with Kevin Peterson, who spoke yesterday about the appointment of Chris Silverwood as the new English coach.
There were obviously some other contenders for the job, and he's gone the traditional English route. Yeah, it's a brave decision because it has to work. And with no experience or very limited experience, if any experience as an international head coach, it can be deep waters to swim in to start off with. So I just hope for Ashley Giles' sake and for Chris Silverwood, who's a really nice guy, for his sake, that it works out.
Kevin Peterson speaking yesterday. In case you missed it, a couple of the Shield scores from yesterday. Victoria at Stumps 1 for 362. Incredible performance by both of the openers. Queensland all out for 153 in their match against New South Wales. New South Wales at Stumps 3 for 50, including Steve Smith being dismissed for a duck. And WA 337 their first innings. Tasmania at Stumps none for 4 from 5 overs. Let's focus in on the action at the Junction Oval yesterday, where Nick Maddison returns to the crease this morning on 195 not out. He was asked about his nerves heading back out today and what they're going to be like last night.
Not really. I feel like I've played for long enough now. I was probably this morning a little bit of nerves for the first time in years playing cricket, but I think that was just, you know, the bit of excitement that Red Bull cricket was back, and I felt like obviously missing the last game last year and not batting in the one before that, but I was pretty keen to get out there and play some Red Bull. So I feel like I've been batting well leading up in the one days and in the pre-season, so I was pretty keen for today.
You spoke to Mark Saris, except you looked like you're in cruise control today. Did it feel like that?
Not really. I think sometimes when you're playing well, it looks like that, but you still got the same approach to every ball. You still treat every ball as one that could get you out, and I think I found a method probably the last 2 years or year and a half that I feel confident in, and it's just probably continuing some form in how I finished last year, and nothing's really changed.
Nick Maddison there after an epic innings yesterday. Looking forward to seeing the Vics back in action today at the Junction Oval. Very much looking forward to a big edition of the Breakfast Club as well, coming your way in about 3 minutes time after the 6 o'clock news. Whitey, Scotty and Rama to take you through your Friday morning. Have your pens poised at 7 o'clock as Dean Lester and Trent Langscale run through all the action tomorrow at Caulfield ahead of a massive meeting there. Caulfield Guineas Day, always one of the best days in Australia.